Hello and welcome to Aaron's podcast for July 10th. You can get all my podcasts at my website at aaron.barher.biz. This will be my third try recording this one. I ran into some technical and weather difficulties the last couple times, so give this another shot. I mentioned the other day that a guy hurt his foot and was carrying his foot, but the good news is that's all better. He was running on it by the next day, and he's not limping anymore, so he's all right now. So I was kicking around some ideas for work. Some people who might listen to this would know that for the last little more than a year, I've been running an internet provider in a land that's based in a land far off to the east. And it's kind of going back to my roots in the internet business, because I got started running or working for a small internet provider here in Quincy. And it's similar to that. It's a small business operating in a smallish town. And I don't know when it was started, but I think it was kind of the same deal, where it started out as a dial-up internet business. People dialed up with their computers, and then it gradually evolved over time to offer web hosting and things like that. And that's really what it is now, is a web hosting service and virtual servers and that kind of thing. So I actually got the job when the guy who had been doing it passed away kind of suddenly. He had cancer, but apparently the owners of the business didn't know just how bad his situation was or something like that. So when he passed away, they were kind of caught by surprise, and they didn't have anybody ready to replace him or fill in or anything like that. So just through kind of a friend of a friend deal, they found me, and I was able to come in and take things over. And he didn't have any sort of documentation or anything on what was going on what the business was, or what services it provided, or really anything about what was involved. He may have had stuff like that on his computer at home, but that was his, that wasn't the business's, and so we didn't get that. And so a lot of the past year has been spent just figuring out what was what, kind of reverse engineering things, where somebody would call up and say, I'm having a problem doing such and such. And I'd say, okay, what is it that you're trying to do? And then I would figure out on the back end, what does that mean is supposed to be there? It took a little while just to figure out what computers the business had and where. I think I'd been working at it for a couple months before the first time somebody called up and said, you know, so-and-so is having a problem with the dial-up. And I was, you know, the dial-up customers are having trouble. And I was like, since when do we have dial-up customers, and what do they dial up to? Because at one time it would have been, everything would have been there at the business. It would have been some computers and modems and phone lines coming into an office and everything. But it long since moved to, you know, servers hosted at big data centers somewhere, and, you know, no actual equipment on site. But sure enough, there was a dial-up service that was a third-party deal through the phone company. And we don't have it anymore because the phone company stopped offering it. But there for a while, I had to figure that out and help people with it. So that's what a lot, and it's been interesting. I don't want to make it sound like a complaint. It's been interesting doing that, figuring out what's there and going through his code, like his custom billing system that he wrote, going through and figuring out how that was supposed to work. What program you ran to generate invoices or to fix an invoice or anything like that. So it's been interesting, and I've gradually gotten it all figured out. One issue I'm running into is that back when if you go back, say, 10 years or so, if someone wanted to have a website, they came to an internet company like that and said, okay, I want to get a website, and you set them up with a web hosting account, and they had a way to upload their files, but it was all fairly manual in the way everything worked. If they needed something, they generally had to, like if they needed a piece of software to support their website, they generally had to call you and say, could you install this for me? Or if they needed to add email addresses, they would call you or email you and say, can you add these addresses or something, you know, that kind of thing. It was all done by the people at the company. Mostly manual stuff, other than the website itself. And that's, like I say, that was the way it was done 10 years or so ago. And that's the way he was still doing things. And I think probably just because the business was doing okay doing it that way. And that's how it had all gotten started. And it's difficult to change things like that once you have customers that expect things a certain way. And so that's the way everything was being done. But nowadays, especially for newer customers, people expect to be able to do things a lot more through an automated process or through their own online process. They expect to be able to go into a control panel and add and remove their own emails and install pieces of software and things like that. So that's kind of been my second phase of doing things, is trying to sort of modernize it, get it up to date to where it works that way, to where there's more features that people have, more of the features they expect to have at this point. But the other part of that is something that I've been sort of kicking around for years, is that the services we offer are complicated. And hard for people to understand if they don't know all the technical stuff, which generally they don't, because why would they? When you say you want to have a website, you know, what do you need? What services do you need to purchase or, you know, get from someone? And how many different ways do you have to get those? It's a more complicated process than you'd think. It probably seems more complicated than it needs to be. And so I've been thinking quite a bit about how do you simplify that for people. I guess as an analogy, I'd look at advertising. You know, a big business that has a big advertising budget, for them, it's simple. They just go to an ad agency and they say, here, you know, here's our budget, you know, here's what we're trying to accomplish. And then the ad agency has all the expertise and they just go do it. They know, you know, they have contacts at all the TV and radio and magazines and all that stuff. They know where to put the ads. They have statistics on what, you know, how well ads do here, there, and the other. They have contacts at the, you know, the talent agencies that, you know, where to get people to make ads and all that kind of stuff. And so the business just, you know, writes them a check and turns it over to them and lets them have all the expertise. The business doesn't try to get in the business of, you know, understanding it all. Even a really huge one, when they have their own internal ad agency, still they've got certain people that they turn that over to. Well, the small business can't do that. If you're a small business and you've got you want to spend $100 a month on advertising or something, well, you can't afford to get an ad agency. So you have to figure it out yourself. You have to look into it and say, okay, you know, can I afford to get a radio ad? You know, can I, you know, should I get an ad in the newspaper? Should I get a Yellow Pages ad? And by the way, don't get a Yellow Pages ad. Those things have never been worth anything. You know, where should I put this? And then, you know, how am I going to get an ad designed? Can I manage that myself? Or do I need to, you know, hire that done? But basically, you have to, when you're a small operator, you have to figure this stuff all out yourself. And that's kind of the way it is with the internet business, which isn't surprising because it's for most businesses, it's a form of advertising. And we mostly serve small businesses, and that's where my focus is trying to help small businesses. And so you run into the same kind of thing where someone knows they want a website, but that's really all they know. They don't necessarily know what they need it to do or even what it can do. They just know they want a website. And so something I've thought about for a long time is, okay, then how do you make that easy for them when they don't have the budget to just hire somebody? And because there again, if they were a big business, they could hire a web development company. And the web development company would say, okay, you write us a check every month for $2,000 or, you know, whatever it might be, and you will have a website, and we will, you know, fill it up with cool stuff, and you won't have to think about it anymore. So for businesses that, or even individuals that can't afford that kind of, well, here, we'll just turn it over to you and you take care of it sort of thing. You know, how do you find a way to offer them the services in a way that they can afford and still, get what they need in a way they can afford and understand what's going on and being able to get what they want? Because even just a simple website, say you just want a website, you know, myfishingboats.com, you have to buy myfishingboats.com. You have to find out whether it's available, whether somebody else already has it. If somebody else already has it, you have to figure out whether they're willing to sell it, what it's available for. If no one else has it, you have to register it, and that will cost you maybe $15 a year. So the money isn't really an issue, but you've got to do that stuff. You've got to know where to go to get that done. Then that just means you own it. That doesn't put anything out there for it. That just means you now own myfishingboats.com and you can do with it what you want. So then the next thing you have to have is DNS service. DNS is domain name service, which computers talk to each other with numbers. They know each other by numbers. They don't know each other by names. And so the first thing you have to have is a service which translates myfishingboats.com to the number of the computer, the actual address that other computers will connect to it. So DNS service is something that if you purchased it just by itself, it would cost you a few bucks a month, or usually the place that you register the domain through will also offer that as part of the deal, but then you have to also be able to administer it yourself and understand what information to put in there, what number to put with what name and things like that. Or if you just, like I say, if you want to just hire it from someplace and just say, here's what I need it to do, you make it work, that's going to cost you a few dollars a month. So that's a second service. And then you still have to have a place to put your website. So that's the main thing, is now you've got to go get web hosting somewhere. And that's the part that'll actually cost you a little something. It might be anywhere from $5 a month up to, you know, $100 a month or more, depending on what you need it to do. But that's where you actually have stuff on a computer somewhere that responds and provides you with a website. So those three things, the domain registration and the DNS service and the web hosting, are three things which could be provided by the same company as a package. They could be provided by three different companies. They could be in some sort of combination of two here and one there, or anything like that. So depending on people's situation and needs, there's a lot of possibilities there just in having a simple website. And then if they want email on that domain, that's a fourth thing that maybe the web hosting company will provide, or maybe they'll have it provided through something like Google Mail, where so you'd have a fourth company involved. Most websites require a database. If you have like a WordPress blog or something like that, you usually have a database behind it, and that's usually just part of your web hosting. But if you've got a complicated site, even that could possibly be off on a fifth, provided by a fifth service. Not likely, but all these things are possibilities. And so when someone comes to you and says, "I want a website," that seems, from the outside, that seems like a fairly simple thing. It's just a website. It's a page on the internet. But as far as trying to figure out what they need, it's a fairly complicated thing. And if you just offer those things, if you just put up a price list and say, okay, domain registration, $15 a year, DNS service, $5 a month, web hosting, $20 a month, you just put all these things out there as a menu, like a menu in a restaurant, you're a small businessman who doesn't understand all this stuff and doesn't want to understand all this stuff because he's got his own business to run, has a hard time figuring out what he needs. Maybe he already owns a domain, so he doesn't need domain registration. Maybe he figures he can register the domain and handle the DNS work himself. He just needs a place to host it. Maybe he needs email addresses, maybe he doesn't. So there's a lot of different things that can go into it. And so what I've been trying to figure out is, okay, how do you offer this? How do you present it in such a way that it's not complicated? It doesn't look like this long list of services that people don't necessarily understand what they all are. And yet not go all the way the other way to where you say, okay, we're going to be your internet service, and we're going to just take care of all this for you at a price that you can't afford. Where's the happy medium between those two things? Excuse me. So that's kind of the underlying issue that I've been trying to figure out and come up with kind of a new way to offer this stuff, because there's lots of companies out there that are offering it. But like I say, most of them go to one extreme of that or the other. Most of them either say, here's the list of services, it's all automated, you just click what you want, and then it's yours and it's up to you to make it all work. Or they're on the other end and they say, we will make you a nice slick website, and you will send us a nice check every month. So trying to find a middle ground between those two things, where for somebody who can't afford to pay a lot of money can still get something done without it having to be so DIY, where they have to kind of become an expert on these services to be able to use them. So that's sort of my main project at the moment, out of a lot of projects, so that I can start presenting that, so I can start selling that to small businesses or even individuals, because it's getting to the point now, and that's kind of a related topic. It used to be web servers were expensive. It was expensive to set one up, expensive to administrate it, that kind of stuff. At least expensive enough that you didn't want to have your own web server that was entirely yours unless you were a fairly big operation. So what most people would get was just shared space on a web server, where you had space for your files and for your domain, and that was served, and lots of other people were on the same server with you, which led to a lot of security issues. There were problems where one person's website would have, say, like a guest book form on it, and the guest book form would have a security hole, and it would allow someone to get into the site, see what other files were on the site, and they'd have a list then of everybody else's files who was on the server, all the other websites on the server. Or they might even be able to delete files, and so they'd be deleting files off of other websites on the server. So shared hosting was always kind of a risk. It's gotten a lot better and is pretty secure these days. But nowadays, you can also just have your own server, because you can get a virtual server for as low as $5 a month, which then is just entirely yours. There's nobody else on that virtual server. The problem you run into then is it's entirely yours and your responsibility to keep the thing updated, to keep security updates installed and that kind of thing. So that's another area where I'm trying to find a middle ground where I can say, okay, here's what you need. You just need your own server. But you don't want to learn how to administrate that thing and keep it safe. So I've got to provide that service too, but I've got to provide it in a way that it's not too expensive. So that's another one where I'm trying to find a good compromise. Because that's another option. A lot of people, with the prices the way they are these days, a lot of people shouldn't have just web hosting on a shared server. They should just have their own server, because that's kind of the way it's going anyway. Even if you're just a small time, individual, and you just want to put some stuff out there, even if it's not a business, even if you're not making any money off it, it can still make sense to just, well, like the server I distribute my podcast from, that's just it's a $5 a month server. It's situated outside the U.S. Just because I can. And, I don't have to worry about anything anyone else installs on there. That might cause a security problem. So that's kind of some musings over things that have been in the back of my mind that I've been kicking around and making some notes about and things like that. I'm sure I'll have more to say about that in the future, as I come up with it and want to kind of get it out there and promote it. Once I have something more concrete to promote, I'm sure I'll be doing that. So hopefully this recording has worked. I won't have to redo it again. And thanks for listening. And I'm sure I'll have more about this in a future podcast. Have a good day.